Okay, let's start. Lesson 3. Jesus is the Son of God made man. Write your name, the date, teacher. So this is a very, very important class because we really want to get to know who Jesus Christ is. It's interesting because he divided history into two blocks, no? A.D. and B.C. Did you know that? You know what B.C. means? How about A.D.? No, Ad Domine. It's Latin for Ad Domine, which means from when the Lord. It's Latin. So B.C. means before Christ. A.D. means starting with Christ. So Jesus, with his birth, he divided the history into two different blocks of time, before and after. Never has there been a person that influenced the world as Jesus Christ. Can any of you tell me what is the most famous birthday in the world? And what's December 25th? So the birthday of Jesus Christ is by far the most important birthday in the history of the world. Now, as I was telling your parents a couple minutes ago, sometimes we don't have the proper way to celebrate it. We just think about gifts. We think about money. We think about getting a new iPad or getting a new bike or a new whatever. That's a bad interpretation of it. Nothing wrong with getting gifts. But if it's simply a materialistic feast day where we just get more things, you miss the boat. You miss the real purpose of what Christmas is about. The gift of Christmas is a person. That person is Jesus Christ. You've heard of Buddha, maybe, right? Maybe you've heard of Confucius. They never said that they were God. But Jesus said he was God. And he said to the people, well, if you don't believe my words, at least believe my actions. What were the actions that he did to prove that he was God? Tomas? Okay, what happened to the bread? Turned it into what? You know, at the Last Supper, he turned the bread into what? His body that we receive in Holy Communion. That's a huge miracle, right? But the miracles. So the miracles that Jesus did prove that he was God. Can any of you name a miracle that Jesus did? We're going to be getting into this. He did a lot. A miracle that Jesus did?
He turned water into wine.
Water into wine, the wedding feast of Cana. Another miracle? No, that didn't happen. Yeah. No, thanks, so. I've read the gospel many times, no? Yeah.
He jumped a tree?
No,
he dropped it. It's like he lowered it down.
A big tree, maybe?
I don't know that one either. You guys are mixing up. So, yeah.
There were like 5 loaves of bread for 10 people, and so he...
Okay. 5 loaves and 2 fish for thousands of people. He multiplied it, and more than thousands of people were able to eat. Yeah.
He brought it back to life.
Good. Remember what his friend's name was? Kids with an L.
Yeah, he said it.
Oh, Lazarus. Good. Very good. Many more. Okay. Blind people, he gave them their sight. One of my favorite, because it had a lot of action, it happened in the sea, Lake Galilee. I like action. He walked on water. Imagine walking on water. Once they were in the boat, and what happened when the apostles were in the boat? Did he work a miracle there?
Didn't he like make a lot of fish go into the river, something like that?
Kind of, yeah. They went fishing, they couldn't catch anything, and then he was there on the shore and said, throw the net on the other side, and they caught 153 really big fish. That'd be another miracle. Do you know what, Tomas, you know what a leper is? If you have a leprosy or a leper? Any of you know what a leper is? Leprosy? Yeah, it's a skin disease. It usually it starts eating away at your fingers, then your nose, then your lips, then your vocal cords, and basically you're rotting alive. And there are not too many lepers today, but back at the time of Jesus, there were a lot of lepers. They had what was called a leper colony. They'd have to live in maybe some of you saw the film Ben-Hur, okay? The modern version of Ben-Hur. Kind of like a cave or like a garbage dump, and they have to just live there and then rot to death. And it was highly contagious. You know what contagious means?
Yes.
What does contagious mean? Do you know? So like if a leper touches you, you could get, it's like, maybe you've heard of AIDS. Someone has AIDS and he bites you, you might get that AIDS, right? So AIDS and leprosy would be like a parallel disease. So Jesus, he would touch lepers. Instead of him getting the leprosy, he would heal the leprosy, just like that. Sometimes he'd even say, be healed, just by his word, they'd actually be healed. Another miracle? Yes. Good. Okay, but was that before Jesus or was that during the life of Jesus? Who was the most famous person in the Old Testament? You saw a movie probably of him. He gave the Ten Commandments. What was his name? The guy that got the Ten Commandments? Ah, come on. Never saw the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, the very famous movie. And they're going toward the Red Sea, and they're going after him with chariots. And the guys on the chariots with the horses about to kill him. What does Moses do? He lifts up his staff, and what happens? What sea was that called?
The Red Sea.
So it divided in two parts, and he walked on the dry land. And what happened to the Egyptians and their horses?
The water got on.
What happened to them? They all drowned, right? Incredible miracle, huh? Incredible miracle. So one proof for the existence of Jesus as God is that he did miracles. Sometimes you have saints. Maybe you heard of Padre Pio, the guy that had the stigmata for 50 years. You ever hear of him? He had the wounds of Christ for 50 years. He would do miracles. But he would say, it's not me, it's God that does miracles. God is just using me. So once again, what we're trying to do in this year is trying to really get to know Jesus better and to form a friendship with him. So at the end of class, we'll pray at least part of the rosary and we'll visit the Blessed Sacrament, be able to talk to our Lord a little bit. But really, if we don't get to know him, it's going to be more difficult to talk to him. Is it easier to talk with a friend or a stranger?
Friend.
What?
Friend.
Why?
Because you
know him better. Yeah. Stranger, you don't know what type of person he is, right? He might not even like you. Instead, to talk with him, he might even get angry at you, right? But a friend knows you. He knows where you're from. Maybe he shares some common interest with you. Who's your best friend?
God.
How about you?
God.
Good. You know, Jesus is your best friend. What would happen if you say, okay, I am going to have Juan is going to be my best friend. And I'm going to talk with him just once a year for 2 minutes. That's our friendship. Is that going to be a good friendship?
No.
Not very good. Two minutes a year isn't that good, is it? So if you have a friend, you want to spend time with them every day or every other day. So you want to spend time with Jesus Christ. So spend some time with him. You can talk with him whenever you want. Let me tell you one of the best phone numbers you can ever dial. I'll say it in Spanish. C-E-A-L-A-O. Spanish, though. C-E-A-L-A-O. What's that? What does that mean in English?
Sky.
Ah, sky. It means heaven. It does mean sky, but it also means heaven. Every time you go, C-E-A-L-A-O, God picks up the phone and says, hey, how's it going? I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you to call. You haven't called me in 2 days. What's happened? You get in the habit of using that phone number. But that phone number as often as possible. You ever call a friend and the phone was busy? Oh, it's happened to me many times. Call, you want to talk with someone, the person to talk with another person on the phone and they're busy. Did you know every time you call God, the phone is never busy? Did you know that? Even though there are about 7 billion people in the world today? Something like that. Even though 7 billion people in the world, every time you want to talk to God, he's never too busy for you. Rather, he's happy that you're going to talk to him. Let me tell you two of the best words you can use when you talk to Jesus. I think you can remember these words. Can I tell you? Two of the best words you can use when you talk to Jesus. You listening? Thank you. Amen? Thank you. Thank you. Those are great words. Thank you, God, for another day, for my health, for my family, for my friends. Oh, thank you so much for my confirmation class. I've been waiting all week to come, right? Amen? Amen or oh me. Hopefully it's an amen, huh? So, ready, Freddy? Listo, Calixto? Me explico, Federico? ¿Entiendes, Mendes? Okay, let's go. Jesus, the Son of God made man. We believe in the Blessed Trinity, which means that there is one God, but three distinct persons, Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. This is the greatest mystery of our Catholic faith. Jesus is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. In this lesson, we'll strive to get to know Jesus better. So, this is what we just said. So there are three gods in one person? Ah, I tricked you, huh? Three gods in one person, is that the way it is?
No.
What is it?
Three persons in one God.
Okay. I said three gods in one person. It's three persons in one God, right? So you are paying attention. Good. Prayer. Let's say it together. Let's go. Lord Jesus, I beg for intimate knowledge of you. I will love you more ardently and follow you more closely. So that's a prayer of St. Ignatius of Loyola from the Spiritual Exercises. Desire and thrust of our lives. No greater pursuit in our lives. Pursuit means what? Following after, right?
Yes.
No greater pursuit in our lives is that in striving to get to know, love, and serve Jesus the Lord. May Our Lady, the Mother of Jesus, attain for us His ardent yearning for the Lord. Let's together say that beautiful psalm together, okay? As the deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord. Say it again. As the deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord. So if you can imagine a deer who's walking through the desert the whole day. At about 7 o'clock at night, the sun is already going down, he arrives at the woods. And there in the woods, there's this stream of water. He's been underneath the sun for 15 hours. Did not drink a drop of water. What do you think he's going to do as soon as he sees that stream of water? He's going to almost dive in, right? He's going to be drinking and drinking and drinking because he's so thirsty. Does that deer have a lot of thirst?
Yeah.
So you should have even more thirst and hunger for God. Got it?
That's right.
You like it? That's the way it should be. That's what the psalm is saying. That deer would really be thirsty for 15 hours walking underneath the sun. So we should have a greater hunger and thirst for God. Amen? Yeah. Okay, who is Jesus? Here's the shortest, one of the shortest but best definitions of Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God made man. He's the Son of God made man. What is Jesus, his relation in the Trinity? So how many persons in the Trinity? Name them. Ah, I forgot. Okay, so Jesus is who? The second. He's the second person of the Blessed Trinity. So he's true God and also true man. Okay, why did the second person of the Blessed Trinity become man? Okay, we got four responses here. So did Jesus always exist?
Yes.
Good. Did he always exist as a man?
No.
When did he start to exist? When he was born. When was that? 2017 years ago, right? A little bit more than 2000. So he always existed as God.
Yeah.
But he decided he was going to become one of us. Mary said yes, he came down from heaven. And 9 months later, he was born where?
Bethlehem.
And where?
Bethlehem.
Okay, good, Bethlehem. Bethlehem. So as a man, he started to exist a little bit more than 2,000 years ago. So he came to take away what? Take away our sins. To take away our sins. He also came to show us God's love. To be not only our friend, not only our friend, but our model of holiness as well. And finally, to share his divine, to share his divine nature with us, so that we truly may become sons and daughters of God. Are you a son of God? Yeah? Are you a son of God?
Yeah.
Kind of? Are you a son of God?
Yeah.
When did you become a son of God? No, you became a creature of God when you're born. You have to be born a second time. What? Okay, when you're baptized. So when you're baptized, you actually became a son of God. That means Jesus shares his divine nature of God. You're a son of God. Are you adopted or natural?
Natural.
Adopted.
No. We're adopted sons of God. There's only one natural son of God. Who's that? Jesus Christ. We're adopted through baptism. Nothing wrong with that. We're all adopted through baptism. Okay, when does the church celebrate the birthday of Jesus in Bethlehem? What day is that? Did you know? Look at that word. It's a compound mass. So it's the Mass of Christ. So the most important thing about Christmas is you're going to Mass on that day and receiving Holy Communion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Other things are important, but most important, you go to Mass and you receive Holy Communion. Yeah, that's the greatest thing. But you can go to Mass every day. So a certain sense, every time the priest lifts up the host, that's Christmas. Because Jesus is being born in my hands every time I lift up the host in Mass. Amen, huh? So Christmas is the day in which the church celebrates the most important birthday in the world. The birthday of Jesus, the Son of who?
God.
And the Son of... So he's the Son of God, but he's also the Son of who else? Mary. And our Savior. How many natures in Jesus? How many?
Two.
Okay, what are they? What are they?
Divine.
Okay, so there's the human. And you said the other one? What's it be? You said the other word.
Divine.
So human means, look at this, he means that he was man. Divine means he is God. So he's both God and man. So the divine nature because he is God, the human nature because he is man. What is the incarnation? So, did you ever hear the word reincarnation?
Yeah.
What does the word reincarnation mean? It's like the Buddhists believe in that, right? And the Hindus believe that you come into the world, you die and you're transformed into another being after you die. It's called the wheel of existence. And then the wheel goes around and you enter into karma, into non-existence. Do we believe that? No. No. Now, reincarnation means that you have a lot of chances. We believe you got one chance. You live one life and then that's it. Yeah, you got one life and then that's it. And what happens after you die? You're judged. On what?
Your
on your life. Where can you go?
Heaven or hell.
Heaven or hell. Did you ever hear of purgatory?
Yeah.
Is purgatory the same thing as?
No, it's the waiting room.
The what?
The waiting room.
Yeah. A good way of putting it, yeah. What do you have in purgatory? What's in purgatory? Well, the church teaches fire. You know, the fire has to burn away all of that selfishness that you had. No? When you die, do you want someone to pray for you?
No.
Or like if you have your funeral mass, they'll say, that guy was a saint. Don't worry about praying for him. Would you want me to do that? Nah. He was a saint. Don't waste your prayers. He's already way up there. You might be in purgatory for 500 years. Get me out of here! So it's not a good idea In funeral masses, for priests to canonize, to say, oh, Guadalupe, Juanita, they're already in heaven. I did a funeral today. And the lady was apparently a pretty good woman. And 11 kids, a lot of grandchildren. Her daughter went to Jóvenes para Cristo. But I certainly didn't canonize her. I said we ought to make a novena for her. Pray for her 9 days in a row. My father died a year ago, and last Sunday, the Sunday before, I invited people to come for the Mass, and there were about 700 people there praying for my father. I kind of like that. Even though there have been many, many Masses for my father, still I'm going to keep praying for him until I die. Who knows, maybe shortly after he died, me and Father Larry prayed a Mass for him within 2 hours after he died. I hope he went to heaven right away. Only God knows. Well, no, it doesn't work that way, no. I mean, it's good to have a son of priest because you're going to get a lot of prayers and a lot of people to pray. But only God knows, no? So it's always a good idea to pray for the dead. Pray for the souls in purgatory. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay, next. What is the incarnation? The incarnation is the union of the human nature and the
divine.
You got it. The human nature and the divine nature in the second person of the Trinity. Who is the mother of Jesus? You ever notice on the top of the cross you see I-N-R-I? You ever notice that?
Yeah.
This is actually placed in three different languages. Because where Jesus lived, there are three different cultures. Kind of like here, there are three different cultures, right? There's the Latino culture, and there's the Anglo culture, then there's the Asian culture. What were the three cultures in the time of Jesus? The Roman, the Greek, and the Jewish. So the Romans were the most powerful political leaders. The Greeks were the intellectuals like Aristotle. And the Jews would be the religious leaders. So it was written in, this would be the language of the Romans, Latin. What does it mean? Anybody know? I-N-L-I? Close. Very close. You got part of it. Oh, you're not? Okay. Okay. Very close. Okay. I would be Jesus, Jesus. N, the Nazarene. R would be the Latin for Rex, which means king. Judeus. Jesus, Nazarene, king of the Jews. Tell your mom and your dad tonight. They'll be impressed. Okay? Jesus, what is it? Jesus the Nazarene, king of the Jews. Say it again. Jesus the Nazarene, king of the Jews. So let's go back to our question. Mary of Nazareth. The Blessed Virgin Mary. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God. Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Did Mary have any other children besides Jesus?
No.
She and Joseph lived as brother and sister, although they were legally married. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph. And the virgin name was Mary. And the angel said to her, thou shalt conceive it in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son. But Mary said to the angel, how shall this happen, since I do not know man? Who then was Saint Joseph? Ever hear of Saint Joseph?
Yeah.
Who was he? He was the husband of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the foster father. He was a foster father. But who was the real father?
God.
God the Father. So he's the foster father of our son Jesus. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, "Do not be afraid, Joseph, son of David, to take Mary for your wife, for that which is begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit." Matthew 1:20. Okay. Saint Joseph. He's a great saint. Let's learn a little bit about this great saint, Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph is the patron. St. Joseph is the patron of the universal church. He's the patron of the universal church. In calling him the patron of the universal church, the church is revealing to us the great power, the great power of his prayers. And his profound holiness of life. Saint Teresa of Avila said that she never remembered a time that God did not answer her prayers through Saint Joseph. Where other saints help us in some of our needs, she said, Saint Joseph helps us in all of them. She did not know anyone who practiced devotion to him who did not notably advance in virtue. So next year around this time, you're going to be already thinking about who's going to be your patron saint. Do you know when you're confirmed next year? That you have to have a padrino. Padrino, what that is, right?
Yeah.
It could be the same one that you had for baptism, but it can be something, some new person. But also you have to choose a new name. You have to choose a name of a patron saint. I would suggest, if you don't have anyone, you can choose Joseph. Or if you prefer in Spanish, Jose. He's a great, great saint. So what does it mean? You choose him as your patron saint. He's going to really help you to get to heaven. You know, when I do baptism today, sometimes people come in with a baby and they get really weird names. Weird names. Where did you get that name from? A telenovela? Wow. Weird names. And that's not right, because the church teaches that we should choose the name of a saint. One of my favorite names is the name of my older brother. I think he's the best. His name is Michael Joseph. I like that. Because St. Michael the Archangel, you've heard of him, right? What did he do? He was the one that cast Satan out of heaven when Satan didn't want to obey. God used St. Michael the Archangel to be the prince battle chief. And he cast Satan and the bad spirits, the devils, out of heaven. So he's a patron of soldiers. We're all soldiers for Christ. So his name is Michael Joseph. Not bad, huh?
Yeah.
Double whammy, huh?
Yeah.
So, next question is, how long did Jesus remain in his private life in Nazareth? How long did Jesus live in his private life of Nazareth? You know? You're just scratching your head, or do you know the answer? 30 years. Very good. So most of his life, 30 years. Any of you know what type of work he did? I mean, did you sit around or did
silence?
Silence, yes, but he did a very, very important type of work.
Carpenter?
He was a carpenter. What does a carpenter do?
Paint.
What else?
Builds,
use hammers and builds chairs and tables, right? So it was a hard work. So St. Joseph, his father, taught him how to become a carpenter. He did that for many years. Okay, so he spent close to 30 years in his private life of Nazareth. From these long years, he teaches us these many important lessons. Silence, prayer, obedience, and work. Those are the four lessons. Importance of silence, prayer, obedience, and work. Do you like silence? Most teenagers don't like silence, you know. Come home, you put on some music probably, right? Come home by yourself, put the TV on, huh? How much time do you spend in silence every day? Probably going to say, only when I go to bed and I fall asleep, right? Well, maybe not even that. But it's important to have silence. If you don't have silence, you really can't listen to God's voice. It's difficult to pray if you're bombarded by so much noise. So silence is important. Very important. Okay. Prayer, I mean, it's not easy to pray, but we have to learn how to pray. All of you, you love to obey your parents, I'm sure, right? Más o menos, right? And work. You love to work too, right? Depends, huh? It's good to work. You know, when you're working, when you don't work, you have a lot of devils that go after you. There's a saying, idleness is the workshop of the devil. If you don't have anything to do, the devil's going to give you a lot to do. So it's important to keep busy. Study, work, sports. Very important to always be involved in something that's healthy and wholesome. Don't have anything to do with the devil. Ah, why don't you do that? Do that. You fall into his trap. Then you could become an addict. Do you know what an addict is? An addiction?
Yeah.
What's an addict?
Like you can't stop doing something.
Right. For example, a drug addict is addicted to coke. It's hard to overcome. You ever meet someone that's an alcoholic?
Yeah.
Hard to give it up. Even smoking. You know, if you guys have not started smoking, I would say, hey, don't even think about it. Smoking really damages your lungs. Did you know that? You probably know some people that they want to stop smoking, but they stop for a week, then they go back to smoke again. Before you know it, they're smoking 2 packs a day. Don't even start. Don't even start.
Can you be addicted to television?
Oh, yes. And computer games too, right? Yeah, you can be addicted to almost anything. There's a really great addiction, addiction to prayer, right?
Yes.
That's what we want to try to do, be addicted to praying to God. That's the best addiction. Right?
Yeah.
Next. Silence, allows for listening. Silence allows for listening to God. Prayer is talking to God. Jesus obeyed his parents, the fourth commandment. Finally, work done well and with the right intention is very pleasing to God. So let's get down to brass tacks. What is the primary work that God wants you guys to do right now until you're 18? Yeah, you got to go to school. Are any of you going to go to college? Good. Going to go to the university? Going to be a professional? You know what it means to be a professional? What does it mean to be a professional? What? Okay, what would be a professional? A lawyer, a doctor, an engineer, right? A teacher, a professor, an architect. Those are called professionals. All of you guys should aim at that. Probably a couple of you are called to become a priest. Hey, you got to say yes. No?
Yes.
No, I don't want to do it, no. Yeah, his brother's on the way. Yeah, his brother. He's in the seminary, still has a few years to go, but he's on the way. And I saw him on the weekend, he seemed to be very happy. Armando is his name, right?
Yeah.
Very happy. He's doing a lot of good work. So maybe God is calling a couple of them to say yes to that vocational call. Yeah. You can serve Mass. Help out people. Preach and teach and confess. Help people to get to heaven. That's the most important thing. Help people to get to heaven. Okay, how can we learn and pray over Jesus' private life? Very good way, very good way to learn and to pray over the infancy of Jesus and his private life is by praying and meditating on the joyful mysteries of the Holy Rosary. Of the Holy Rosary. You see that little picture in the square? Do you know who that is? It's the Blessed Mother, but any of you know, is that Our Lady of Guadalupe? Who is it? What? Oh, do you know anything about the Lady of Fatima? She appeared to who? Three children. Any of you know the names of the children? It was Jacinta, Francisca, and Lucia. And it was exactly 100 years ago. For example, on Friday, it's 100 years of the great miracle of the sun. The great miracle of the sun was they had 80,000 people that went to the place where Mary was appearing, and then the sun started to spin around like a Ferris wheel. Here we go to Knott's Berry Farm. And it went around and around like a kaleidoscope and looked like it was going to shoot down to the earth. And the people fell down on their knees and they were confessing their sins. And it was raining the whole day. And then it went back. And then it came again. It looked like it was going to crash to the ground. All the people crying out. And there were many miracles. One miracle was the people that were drenched. All their clothes dried up just like that. This guy that was blind was able to see. A guy that was a paralytic was started to walk. And 80,000 people saw this. And then a lot of people, Portugal was very anti-Catholic, even though it's a Catholic country.
Yeah.
A lot of people turned to God as a result of that. So that's Our Lady of Fatima. Can you see what it says? You have good eyes? What does it say? I am the... Yeah, that's your title. I am the Lady of the Rosary. Okay. What are the joyful mysteries of the Rosary? They are, number one, the... What's the first joyful mystery? I'll give you a hint. When the archangel comes to Mary, what was that called? Begins with an A? The Annunciation. The Annunciation. The Annunciation. The Annunciation will be two N's, okay? None of you guys ever won a spelling bee, did you? Okay, number two. What's the second joyful mystery? Okay, Mary receives the message, and then she, where does she go right after receiving the message of the angel? Didn't she have a cousin? Didn't she have a cousin that was older? Okay, she went to visit Elizabeth. Who was Elizabeth? Her old cousin who was expecting a baby, even though she was an older woman. So it's called the Visitation. The Visitation. The Visitation. Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth to help her out. The third mystery is the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. You know how to spell Bethlehem? That's a toughie.
B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M.
Way to go. Oh, it's on there. Okay. So the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. You know the word Bethlehem, you know what it means? It means house of bread. Spanish, Belen. It means house of bread. Jesus, the bread of life, was born in the house of bread. To nourish our hungry souls. Huh? Very poetic, huh? Number four, the presentation of Jesus in the temple. How old was he?
12.
No, he was 40 days old.
40 days.
He was just a little baby. Okay, then the last one is he was 12 years old. And what happened?
He got lost.
He got lost for how long?
A week.
3 days. Okay, so the finding of Jesus in the temple after he was lost for 3 days. Okay, what is one of the primary purposes of the rosary? By the way, do any of you know what saint we celebrate today? He's a modern saint. He was actually canonized, he was made a saint together with John Paul II 3 years ago. So John Paul II was canonized, made a saint 3 years ago, 2014, with another pope, and his name was Pope John the 23rd. John the 23rd. These popes are important. This pope made me a priest. He died when I was about 6 years old. So they're modern saints. They're modern saints. How old am I? I'm a year older than last year. I gotcha. Okay. Okay. What is the primary purpose of the rosary? According to St. John Paul II, one of the primary purposes of the Holy Rosary is to contemplate the... face. Contemplate the face of Jesus through the eyes and heart of Mary. Contemplate the face of Jesus through the eyes and heart of Mary. Number 14. Jesus as a child. What do we know of him? After Jesus was beaten in the temple, the gospel says this of Jesus. He was obedient to them, and his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace before God and man. Have you already done the attendance? Okay, so what we have to do is do the attendance, and then we'll have to make a really shorter visit today. So what I'd like you to do is, as Richard's doing the attendance, pass over the rosaries. Okay, listen.
And
ask if they went to Mass.
Not here.